This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
Peace be with you. Welcome to The Deen Show. I'm Eddie, your host. If you have not subscribed, subscribe right now and get ready for another exciting show. We know that Islamophobia is rampant now. Why? We're going to be discussing that. And there's that all up in your face Islamophobia. Then there's that subtle Islamophobia. That's what we're going to be talking about today. Give me some examples here on The Deen Show. And then after the rain comes the sunshine. We're going to give some good news so you're not all gloomy, because a lot of times you hear the sad news, you're like, why are they talking bad about us when we're just peace-loving people trying to have a peaceful relationship with our neighbors and we're so misunderstood? So if my next guest, Secretary General of ISNA, here on The Deen Show, be right back. Don't go anywhere. This is The Deen Show. This is the Deen Show. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Walaikum assalam, brother.
How are you? Hazim.
Hazim, yes.
How are you?
I'm good, alhamdulillah. Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being on the Deen Show.
It's my pleasure. It is my pleasure, sir.
Now, I had opened up the show and I had talked about the... You know, you're on the ground, you see like this growing Islamophobia. Is this something that you're also experiencing? You're being a part of ISNA and you guys are out there doing a lot of community work and interfaith, you know, different dialogues with different people of other religions. How is it on the ground, what you're seeing now?
Absolutely. Today? You know, ISNA's on the front lines of working with the community, working on interfaith and so on. And recent polls have shown, and our experience has shown, that public perception of Islam is at an all-time low right now, unfortunately.
That's a fact,
yeah. Right? It was okay for a while, but now it's getting worse again. And we are up against such a machine that is constantly vilifying Muslims and lying about Islam. And they have a vested interest in making us out to be the bad guy. You know, we're doing what we can. But we need to double our efforts, inshallah.
Now, we talked about this all up in your face, Islamophobia. Bill Maher saying that, you know, the 1.6 billion Muslims are like the mafia, comparing Muslims to, you know, like the Nazis. Yeah. I mean, some crazy up in your face stuff, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But what about this now? There's a recent article with Larry King talking about the more subtle approach. Can you talk to us about this?
Sure. That's a very important distinction. So you've got the in-your-face Islamophobia, like you said, which is a problem, obviously. But it's a less dangerous problem because we all recognize it as Islamophobia. We all recognize it as a form of racism. Somebody obviously just doesn't like you. Somebody has misconceptions about you. But we can recognize it for what it is. The more devious problem, in my opinion, is this more subtle form of Islamophobia, where there's a very subtle form of racism, very subtle form of stereotype that isn't immediately apparent. The problem is, the person doing it may not be even aware of what they're saying. So, for example, there was a recent incident with Larry King, where a gentleman wanted to take his picture with Mr. King. Turns out that this fellow was from Saudi Arabia who wanted to take the picture. And so Larry King said something along the lines of, oh, I'm a Jew. Is it okay for a Saudi to take a picture with a Jew? And he said, of course, yes, we have many followers in Saudi Arabia and so on. So he took the picture with Mr. King and he smiled and so on. Then afterwards, Larry King says to this Muslim from Saudi Arabia, he says, now go fight ISIS. Mm. On the surface, it might seem okay. He was making a joke about Muslims and Jews and then fighting ISIS and so on. But underneath it, right, is this very subtle insinuation that Muslims don't like Jews, right? Which is not true. We see them as Ahl al-Kitab, people of the book. We have some issues with Israeli policy towards Palestinians, but we have nothing against Jews as a religion. And then something along the lines of, now go fight ISIS. Well, what do American Muslims have to do with ISIS? What does Saudi Arabia have to do with ISIS, right? So that would, for example, that would be like me saying to an American Christian, go fight Andres Breivik in Europe. You remember the shooter in Europe, I believe it was...
He killed someone.
Norway, yeah. Right? It was at a camp, and he killed about 70 Muslims. Mm-hmm. Many of them were children. This fellow was a devout Christian, and that would be like me saying to a Christian here, now go fight Andreas Breivik. Or me telling a Christian here, now go fight the skinheads in Europe, right? What do they have to do with the radicals in Europe? Why am I holding American Christians accountable for the radicals in Europe? Similarly, why is Larry King holding a Saudi or an American liable for the crazies in the Middle East and throughout the world, right? So it's this double standard, but on the surface, that's not how it may come off, right? He's just concerned about what's going on in the Middle East, and he's telling us to go fight ISIS.
I want to take you to this clip right now so you can see it and then get your comments on it.
Sure.
We're at the Kokomo Islamic Center. It's time that we put all of these pieces of crap on notice that we're not taking their shit.
Yeah,
that's the first drawing on our little artist contest.
Hey! At the Muslim Center.
We're here.
Okay, so you got to see this clip. It's very sad seeing this stuff. Yeah. So we're gonna go to break, and then we're gonna get your comments on this. Is this this one? Which would this fit in?
This is the very overt Islamophobia.
Okay, so we'll be right back more to discuss this clip here on the Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Bismillah. People wonder, what is the status of Jesus, peace be upon him, in Islam? Do Muslims respect him? Do they honor him? Is he a prophet or is he God, according to Islam? First, all Muslims consider Jesus, peace be upon him, is a Muslim. Do you know that the word Muslim means the one who submits to God's will? To Muslims, the word Muslim is an honorary title to those who completely surrender themselves to God's will. For instance, in the Quran, Surah 37:103, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, فَلَمَّا أَسْلَمَا وَتَلَّهُ لِلْجَبِينَ وَنَادَيْنَاهُ أَيَّ إِبْرَهِيمَ. In translation, when Abraham and Ishmael completely surrendered themselves and they became Muslim and they followed the orders of God on the sacrifice. So therefore, it was an honorary title for Abraham to be called a Muslim when he completely surrendered himself to God's will. Do you know that according to Muslims, all prophets of God were Muslims and all of them carried the same message in which they were calling people to submit to God's will? According to Islam, God has sent approximately about 124,000 prophets to this world. In the Quran, God have mentioned only 25 of all of these prophets. And out of those 25 prophets, God have chose 5 to be called Ulil Azm, the best prophets. And only one prophet of those 5 prophets, God have called him the Messiah, which was Jesus, peace be upon him. Do you know that a Muslim cannot say the word Jesus by itself, and he have to say peace be upon him as a form of respect? Do you know that Muslims cannot and will not represent an image of Jesus, peace be upon him, because no one can replace his image? Again, this is the way we honor Jesus, peace be upon him. How many times have you seen Jesus, peace be upon him, being represented in a cartoon or an image in any Muslim country? You will never. Why? Because this is considered to be a great disrespect, and actually it's a blasphemy, according to Muslims, to represent Jesus, peace be upon him, in a form of an image. In the contrary, you will see this being done so many times in the West. Did you know that part of being a Muslim that we have to believe in Jesus, peace be upon him, and a Muslim is not a Muslim who does not believe in Jesus? Do you know that God have mentioned Jesus, peace be upon him, in the Quran 25 times versus he only mentioned Muhammad, peace be upon him, only 5 times? Do you know that the most honorable woman in Islam was Mary, the mother of Jesus, peace be upon him? Do you know that Mary was mentioned in the Bible only 18 times, and in the Quran she was mentioned 32 times, almost 100% more? Do you know that in the Quran, God have dedicated a whole chapter for the mother of Jesus, Surah Maryam, or Chapter of Mary. Also, do you know that God have dedicated a whole chapter in the Quran to talk about the Last Supper, Surah Al-Ma'idah? Do you know that the most number of people named Jesus worldwide were Muslims? This is Jesus, peace be upon him, in Islam. We honor him. We respect him. He is our role model.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show with Secretary General from ISNA, Hazim.
Hazim, yes, thank you, sir.
Thank you. Okay, so we got to see this clip, and it's very sad. You know, you go into your house of worship, you want to worship the same God that Jesus worshiped, the creator of the heavens and the earth. You're going there minding your business,
yeah. And
then you see these people waving this Confederate flag, you know, with many of them armed.
Yeah.
And it's a scary feeling. What were your thoughts on this?
A few things. First, we have to remember to remain calm, right? No situation ever got better because people lost their tempers. So we always need to stay calm. Second, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and the Sahaba and every prophet went through the exact same thing. You had people that opposed them, people that gave them a hard time, and they dealt with much worse than this. Third thing is, this is a teaching opportunity, right? We have to view these protests and Islamophobes as people who are misguided and do what we can to guide them. We have to remember the story of Umar ibn Khattab, who became the second Khalifa of Islam. He was one of the most violent and one of the most rebellious people against Islam, but even he converted at some point. So you never know who Allah chooses to guide. So people like this, either engage them politely in a nice way, teach them about our religion, invite them in, break some bread with them, try to explain to them that we have nothing to do with what's going on overseas. In fact, many of us came here to escape what was going on overseas. Our religion is a religion of peace. Our religion is one that respects Christianity and Judaism. And try to open their hearts to Islam, not necessarily even to convert them, but just to get them to stop hating us. And if they're receptive, alhamdulillah. If not, then we've done our part. We've done our part in explaining our side and distancing ourselves from what's going on overseas. If he chooses to hold on to his hatred and his prejudices, it's on him at that point.
I like what you're saying. We take something really gloomy and dark,
yeah,
which is obviously, you know, what we're seeing here. People basically mocking, you know, someone who we love, mocking the way of life that we practice. When in actuality now, turning into something good, you said, call him in. Why are you standing outside? Maybe in the cold.
Yeah, absolutely.
Come inside and break some bread.
Do you remember in Arizona?
A Valley man who went to a rally outside a Phoenix mosque on Friday to protest Islam has a change of heart somewhat. Went to the event where armed demonstrators spoke out against the Muslim faith. But after being invited inside the mosque, he says the congregation made him feel welcome.
Here's Jason Ledger and the organizer of Friday's rally wearing their profanity-laced T-shirts. Now, things have changed.
Out of respect for the Islamic people, knowing what I know now, since I have talked to them and spoke with them, no, I would not do that again. Just because I don't want to offend or hurt those people.
They had the bikers, and yes, there were hundreds of bikers. They were protesting at a masjid. I think it was in Phoenix.
Phoenix, Arizona.
In Phoenix, Arizona. And then what did they do? The people at this masjid were very wise, mashallah. They invited the leaders of this of the organizers, right? They invited them into the masjid, and they explained to them that we have nothing to do with what's going on overseas. They broke bread with them. They had a meal with them, and then by the end of it all, you see them hugging.
He had a change of heart.
He had a complete change of heart. He had a complete change of heart, mashallah. So this was somebody who was very angry. He was armed. He had hundreds of bikers with him. He organized a protest against a masjid. And within just a few hours, right, of this very calm, peaceful, accommodating response, you saw them shaking hands and hugging, right? That is the example for us to follow.
I heard recently a beautiful quote by Nelson Mandela, who talked about, no one is born with this hate. They're taught to hate.
Absolutely.
Teach them how to love now.
Absolutely.
So we got to read those. Let's we're going to go back to another gloomy situation. Okay. Okay, a little scary.
Absolutely.
But then
absolutely.
We want to bring some light on it.
Absolutely.
After the rain comes the sunshine, like we just did. Let's see. We're going to go to this clip right now.
Sure.
Hullinan is being sued over declaring his store a Muslim-free zone, which he made while standing in front of the Confederate battle emblem.
Okay, we got to just see this clip now. You know, at one point, the African Americans in this country were being told to get to the back of the bus.
Yeah.
There was black free zones, actually.
Yeah.
Is this in America we're seeing now, Muslim free zones?
Subhanallah, these are the times that we live in. And again, you were talking about taking a negative and making it into a positive. That after the rain, there is the sunshine.
Absolutely, yes.
This is actually a good sign, uh-huh. right? Because whenever a minority receives a lot of pushback, means that they're on the verge of becoming mainstream, right? So if you look back in American history, Jews went through the same thing, Catholics, German, Irish, Chinese, African Americans, obviously, you name it, right? They all had to go through their phase of being discriminated against, being hated, but then eventually that's a sign that you're becoming very close to reaching mainstream. So that's the positive that we can take from this. And again, this gentleman who is doing this, it's a teaching moment. We need to reach out to him, which I know Hassan Shibli, the director of CARE Florida, did reach out to him. And they were making some progress for a time, but then things fell apart, unfortunately. But this is a sign that Muslims were becoming mainstream.
Now, if you put a Muslim-free zone, most people, once you open up the door of communication, you realize what a Muslim is, and you realize that Jesus, peace be upon him, you know, he would probably be more your complexion.
Yeah.
And he would look more like a Muslim looks like today.
Yeah.
Some people are seeing some pictures that because, you know, people have modified it. We don't actually know exactly what it looks like, but people, you know, they give some descriptions.
Yeah.
He would actually probably not be admitted into the store either.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. And the thing is, here's...
He would deny Jesus.
We have to sympathize somewhat with this store owner because I see him as a victim.
Yes.
Of all of this propaganda that you have in the medium, in the media. You know, you mentioned earlier that hate is not natural. Hate
exactly,
is
yeah.
taught. So is fear. I don't think fear is natural. I think fear is taught. And this man has been taught to fear Muslims. He's been taught by the media. He's been taught by Islamophobes. He's been taught by a very well-organized, well-funded Islamophobia machine. So now it's the responsibility of the Eddie Show, the Dean Show. It's the responsibility of ISNA and ICNA and CARE and all the other Muslim organizations to counter that. And this is, you know, this is why Allah sent us here.
I love it. I love that's what our way of life, this way of life that calls us to have peace with our Creator, peace with ourselves, peace with humanity, to be optimistic, to take these gloomy situations and make the best of
them. Rasulullah was a very optimistic man, so to say.
Absolutely. Yeah. Not to just look at ourselves like the victims, but to put this information out there and to see how we can diagnose this, because many Muslims will see this and they'll fall into great despair. They'll be really saddened, you know, to think that, okay, this is what my neighbor thinks of me, you know. Mm-hmm. And hopefully they can go ahead and listen to this wonderful advice that you're saying and turn the situation around.
No, but you're right. We cannot have a defeatist mentality.
Yeah.
The early Muslims, they were always outnumbered. They were always outnumbered, but they were very positive and they were successful. So we need to get out of this mentality of we are victims, we are oppressed. We have some issues that we're dealing with and we're doing what we can as a community, but we have to remain optimistic. And situations like this, we need to see them as opportunities to represent ourselves, see them as opportunities to talk to people about Islam and correct people's misconceptions.
Opportunities, that's what we have here, and we'll be right back with more on The Dean Show. Don't go anywhere.
Being an African American, being a veteran of the United States military, I feel as though these people who came out here armed outside of the mosque, a place of worship, is completely disrespectful. This is on U.S. soil. They're U.S. citizens. They have the right of freedom of speech, freedom of spirituality, and I think that is disgraceful. This is not the American way. This is not the American dream.
Is there a purpose to our lives? Do we simply exist to make a living? Or were we meant for something greater? something more meaningful. I looked everywhere for answers. And I found Islam. I started my journey. Have you started yours?
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.
Back here on The Dean Show, now, how would you approach someone? You're going to your house of worship and you see, or you're going to the store and you see a sign, Muslim Free Zone. How would you engage with someone like this on the other side?
Yeah. First thing, again, you have to be very calm, very polite. And you have to know when to engage that person. You know, do you want to engage them at the busiest time of the day when they have customers going in and out and so forth? Probably not, right? We have to be tactful. So maybe wait until the shop owners, he closes shop, maybe call them after hours, ask them to come meet with them, right? At a convenient time for them. Then you engage them, maybe you invite them over to the masjid, maybe you invite them over to your house, right? Because the masjid might be intimidating for them. Mm-hmm. If you invite them over to your house, invite them over for dinner. Who's going to say no to a free dinner, right? You invite them into your home and you break bread together. It says something, and that's what they're not expecting. What they're expecting is a sort of violent or antagonistic response, right? They're trying to get a rise out of us. But let's be tactful, right? And respond with kindness and generosity. I think inviting people over for dinner at your home is a great way to start.
And this is what Islam teaches us.
Yes.
So it's not something that we're doing covert. This is what our religion teaches us. This is
Absolutely.
The basics of Islam. But a lot of times, you know, Muslims, they might react, and it's beautiful you're giving that advice, not to react on emotion.
Yeah.
And just to stay calm. And another thing is to really learn your religion.
Absolutely.
And you'll see how to communicate with people in a positive light and be optimistic and take these situations to hopefully do some good with it.
Absolutely. You have to be armed with knowledge.
Knowledge, yeah.
Right? This is not an easy thing to do. Interacting with people that are afraid of Muslims or are very antagonistic towards Muslims is not an easy thing to do. So you have to arm yourself with the right knowledge, not only about Islam, but about modern issues. Statistics on terrorism and things of that nature. And are Muslims really involved in these kinds of things? And right, you have to know what to say. You have to anticipate the questions that they're going to ask. You have to anticipate how they're going to respond. You have to anticipate the biases that they might have and what they heard on a certain news channel or from a certain Islamophobe, so that you know how to counter them. Because if you can't counter them properly, you might just end up reinforcing the negative concepts that they have.
And in the verbatim word of God, the Quran, God Almighty is actually talking about this, not to return harshness with harshness, but with good, and then this person might end up being...
Absolutely. No situation ever got worse because somebody was calm and polite and loving.
Yeah, absolutely. Now tell us, how does your organization that you're the Secretary General of, do you invite people of other faiths, Christians and other not yet Muslims who are out there to get to learn about the Muslims and Islam?
Absolutely. ISNA, we are engaged in interfaith work 24/7, right? We do this year round. And interfaith work is one of those things that unfortunately is undervalued by many people within our community. They just don't see the value in it. Interfaith work is building relationships. It's building friendships. It's building partnerships that result in collaboration. Some of our best supporters, people who have defended Muslims, have been people of other faiths, Christians and Jews and otherwise, in churches, in synagogues, and in the halls of Congress, right? But those people defended us, one, because out of their goodwill, but also because of the relationships that they have with Muslims, right? Muslims are a minority in America. We are about 1%. That is a tiny, tiny, tiny minority. It makes sense for us to partner with larger groups who share our values, right? Why wouldn't we do it? And this is one of the best forms of da'wah. They see us, they get to know us, they know that Islam is really just an extension of their own religion. This is not a new religion, this is not an other. We are not people to be feared. We are your fellow Americans. We are your brothers and sisters in humanity. We are your brothers and sisters in monotheism. And we have the same concerns and the same aspirations as you do. I've got a mortgage to pay. I got to get my kids through college. I'm worried about losing my job. I have a fight with my wife or whatever the situation may be, right? I'm going through the exact same things that you are. There's no need for you to hate me or to fear me.
Now, for the not yet Muslims, our brothers in humanity who are out there and they're watching, they don't have no plans next weekend.
Yeah.
You're actually hosting an event coming up?
I have a suggestion. ISNA, we have our annual convention every year. It is one of the largest gatherings of Muslims in North America. 15,000 to 20,000 people come every year. It is Labor Day weekend in Chicago at the Rosemont Convention Center, September 4th through September 7th. Everyone is invited. This is not just for Muslims. This is for people of any faith or people of no faith. We have scholars, we have activists, we have entertainment, we have events for the youth, we have events for college-age people, we have roundtable workshops, we have a little bit of everything, and we have something for everyone.
Donald Trump can come, all the politicians.
Donald Trump is welcome to come, yes,
yeah.
If he wants.
George Zimmerman, this guy from the Muslim Free Zone, they're all of
it. He should come and see Muslim families with little kids, you know, running around, just coming to learn about their religion. They should come and hear how beautifully we speak about Christianity and Judaism, about how beautifully we speak about our country, America, about how beautifully we speak about Ahlul Kitab, people of the book, our Christian Jewish brothers and sisters.
And the guys in Indiana standing with these masks that we saw the video by themselves.
They are welcome to come. Everybody's welcome to come. Yeah. And this is not just ISNA's convention, right? This is Chicago's convention. The Chicago Muslim community, they are hosting us. They are partners in this event. The Council of Islamic Organizations of Greater Chicago, they are our co-hosts. So this is not just an ISNA event. This is a Chicago event.
Thank you. We started with peace. We end with peace.
JazakAllah. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. And thank you for taking the time to tune into the Dean Show. Again, if you haven't subscribed, subscribe. And we took the all up in your face Islamophobia, talked about it a little bit, and then the subtle Islamophobia, and then took the gloomy, turned it into something bright. We need to be optimistic. We need to be educated. And if you care, you need to share with your best example that Islam teaches us to be upon. And going ahead and inviting those of your neighbors to have a good communication with yourself so we can go ahead and try to clear up this misinformation about Islam and Muslims. We hope that you got to benefit from this week's episode of The Dean Show, and we look forward to seeing you next time, and maybe we'll see you at the convention. Make sure you're there. We'll see you. Peace be with you. Assalamu alaikum.
Please subscribe to The Dean Show. Follow us on our official Facebook and Twitter pages in the links below. Please also help support The Dean Show by making a donation in the link below.